All right, so we are in the book of James, and we are talking about prayer. So, you know what I've noticed? You want to hear something amazing? Okay, like, we made a joke, like, when we started the book of James, like, that was the 50 caliber machine gun of the Bible, because you get one command imperative after another. And so I made some jokes. How long are we going to be in it? It's only five chapters. Oh, we'll be in it a month. Oh, we'll be in it 2 months. And then Mark said something like, we're going to be in it 4 months, just like Colossians. And everybody laughed. And then I think Asdaline, she's probably back with the young kids right now, she's like, 4 months? I say 6 months. And I, very funny, you guys. And actually, we've been in the book of James for 6 months. Okay. So there's just so much in God's word, okay? And if you missed last week and the week before, please go back and listen to it online, because there's so much terrible teaching out there that you need to know what the Bible says. And I'm always trying to give you biblical reference, because there's just so much terrible teaching that will just crush your faith. You guys are getting some good stuff. Okay, so we are in James chapter 5. And I'm going to just read over the few verses, and I think we're going to start off roughly in about 16 or maybe 15, I think is where we left off. So I'm just going to start in verse 13 and read it, and I'm going to not make any comments for time's sake. You guys are hurtful. Okay, verse 13, James chapter 5. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And then it says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If, that's a big if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. And that, of course, is in, okay, tiny little comment. That if is if he's calling on the elders, and if it has to do with sin in their life, it may not. We talked about that last week. But if it is, and he confesses that stuff, that God's going to forgive him. If he's repentant over it, that God forgives him and will heal him. So we are at verse 16, and we're talking a lot about prayer. And so the kids, the youth, asked me this question too at the school. So there's about 20 of them here, 20 of the teens and tweens. And they asked about, hey, you know, when does God, you know, not answer our prayers? Or what happens about unanswered prayers? And so that was one of their questions. I give them a little index cards, and they can ask any question they want, and I'll answer them honestly from the Bible. So here's some reasons, and again, we're going for biblical reasons. Okay, there's a lot to say about unanswered prayers. We're going to go over that, but I've got something that's very special for you. I was able to get pictures from, don't ask me how now, I was able to get pictures from God's perspective of us adults, of how we look, his kids, how his kids look from God's perspective when our prayers, when we don't get what we want or we get unanswered prayers. So I just want to show you, don't ask, these are candid shots. This is how we look in God's eyes. Here's a couple of quick, this is a couple of quick ones. That's how we get, and we don't get what we want. Oh, God doesn't love me. I'm going to take my ball and go home. I'm so mad I didn't get what I want. And then my favorite one is this one, when we're not getting what we want in prayer, is this one right here. Now, if you remember her, that, does anybody know who that is? Baruch Assault, you remember the name? Yes, you remember? Daddy, I want a golden goose, and I want the golden goose now, Daddy. We'll look at golden gooses when we get home, but I don't want it. I want what I want now. You remember that? Now, that's what sometimes is going on the outside, and honestly, sometimes, and to all of us, let's be honest, we've all been there, right? At one time or another in our hearts. Okay, Madison, you had a question. Maybe I should wait till you chew.
You said, I don't need that.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do, honey. You need to use that. Yes.
You said at school that tween wasn't a thing.
Whatever. It's a term. There's a tween.
Well, you just
teen,
said it. So.
Whatever. Go ahead.
I just want to point out that those are all female.
You know what?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. What a good
point. Now, I will be honest here. My wife said, do you realize you picked all females for those? And I said, you know what? I didn't realize that. Maybe. Anyway, it's just how it worked out. Yes. Listen, we can listen. Guys can be that same way as well. It's just for visual purposes. That's all I'm saying. All right. Yes. What now?
If you have,
that's enough. Anyway, but honestly, let's be honest. I can be this way too. You can be this way. We can all go through these same emotions. Okay, so don't think it's an anti-woman thing or anything. There might be a little no. So here are some biblical reasons, okay, for unanswered prayer. Okay, because sometimes our prayers are not answered. You know. Okay, this is not a biblical reason, so before we start that, Garth Brooks did a song one time. Do you remember that one? Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. And you know what? That is so true. How many times did we pray for this relationship? Oh, if I only got this, if I only got this job, then I'd be happy. If I only, you know, Lord, if you just give me this husband. And then, you know, 5 years later, Lord, you gave me this husband. You know, so we need to trust him that providentially that he knows better. So when it comes to unanswered prayer, here are some biblical reasons why we may not be getting the answer or an answer for our prayers. And this is one of them. Rebecca, you're killing me. You did not need to go there, honey. I like that we're a family, but there goes Pastor Darren under the bus. Whoa. Thank you. Thank you, Anthony. Okay, if Natalie lets you. Anyway. Anyway, let's go back to the word. Proverbs 28:9. Okay, are you listening to God? Okay, listen, the Bible says if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instructions, even their prayers are going to be detestable. Listen, if the Lord's trying to speak to you, he's convicting you, he's telling you something, and you're doing this, la 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 la, I'm not listening. Well, if you continue to do that, and that's your attitude towards God over and over and over again, well, you know what might happen? Okay. You're not going to, let's see how you like it now. I want to get your attention. I want to break that pride. So listen, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instructions, even their prayers are detestable. So have an open heart before the Lord. Be ready to receive anything that he says with an open heart. You can't, the Bible's not something that you pick and choose. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, I really like the part on this. The blessings, I can do the kindness, but I don't like the giving part. And I don't like, the sexual immorality. We'll just set that aside. Listen, are you listening to God? He's speaking to you. Don't turn a deaf ear to his instruction. Here's a few more. Another one is just flat out sin. If we're cherishing this sin in our hearts, this whatever it is, Psalm 66, verses 17 to 18 says, I cried out to him with my mouth, with praise was on my tongue. But it says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord wouldn't have listened. So listen, sometimes if you're holding on to this sin and you are just coveting it, almost like the Gollum in Lord of the Rings, you know, my precious, you know, you're not going to give up that sin. Listen, you know, you may be causing, you're wondering why some of your prayers are being unanswered. God's trying to break you down, break that pride, whatever it is, get it out of your life. Get that sin out of there. Don't cherish it. It's dishonoring to the Lord.
Get it out of your house. Get it out of your heart. Get it out of your mind. Get it out of your whatever. Get it out. Here's another reason sometimes for unanswered prayers. Oh, I guess I did this one. I like this one better. I did both. Sometimes our unanswered prayer, sometimes we don't ask God in prayer. We just, why didn't God do anything? Well, we didn't ask. And sometimes we're praying selfishly, right? We're praying for me, myself, and I. Listen, if you want to live an abundant Christian life and see God work, you have to change your perspective. It's not all about you. In fact, it's all about Him. And it's all about others. That's what it's all about. Stop thinking so much of yourself, even in our prayers. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, you do not have because you don't ask God. You're going around to everybody else, but you're not asking the Lord. And then when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives. You're asking selfishly, that you can spend what you get on your own pleasures. That's not what this life is about. God wants to give to you so that you will give it away. If He gives you time, give it away in Jesus' name. If He gives you talents, give it away in Jesus' name. Do you see what I'm saying? Whatever it is, you give it in His name to honor Him. So sometimes we don't receive because we ask with the wrong motives. Sometimes we don't get because we're not treating our spouse correctly. 1 Peter says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the women, since they are heirs with you by the grace of life, so that, what? Your prayers may not be hindered. Every husband should probably highlight that verse. Of course, that might be a little selfish, but maybe that verse. Live with your wife and showing honor to the woman. Here's another reason sometimes our prayers go unanswered. Being stingy or selfish and not helping those less fortunate. See, there's a guy. Don't tell me. So here it goes. Ready? It says in Proverbs 21:13, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Wow, that's pretty strong stuff. Don't close your ear to the poor, those less fortunate. Don't be stingy. If you got it, well, use it in Jesus' name. Great. You know, don't be selfish with your stuff. Sometimes it's spiritual warfare. We don't hear exactly when he says it. This is in the book of Daniel. And we went through the book of Daniel, so I thought about turning there and going through it all. But we already went through the whole book of Daniel. You can listen to it online at homefellowshipchurch.com if you want. But it says this, the angel of the Lord said, this is to Daniel, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven, and I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I left him with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. So here is some spiritual battle. So here, as soon as Daniel prayed, he was answered in a message that angel was sent to help. But for 21 days, man, this spiritual warfare is going on. This is a real thing. Okay? So sometimes we're not getting our answer when we want it because of spiritual warfare. All these things can affect. Now, anybody familiar with J.I. Packer? Anybody? Okay, well, he's a theologian. Sometimes I really like what he says, sometimes I don't. But anyway, I like a few things he said. He said one time, he said, there's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. When you truly know God, you have the energy to serve Him, the boldness to share Him, and the contentment in Him. Now, when they asked him about, that's kind of a famous quote that he's known for. Okay, now, when they asked him about saying no's in prayer, this is what he said. Perhaps he, being God, perhaps he means to strengthen us in patience or good humor or compassion or humility or meekness. Perhaps he has new lessons in self-denial and self-distrust to teach us. Perhaps he wishes to break us of complacency or undetected forms of pride and conceit. Perhaps his purpose is simply to draw us closer to himself. Or perhaps God is preparing us for forms of service of which at present we have no inkling. And I like that. Now, here are some biblical reasons about when God says no. And there are some folks that, churches that teach that God would never say no to his child. He would never do that. You're a little Christ. You're a king. You're a prince. Listen, let me tell you something. That is a bunch of malarkey. It says that one of the first reasons God might say no is that he's disciplining us. Do you know in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that God disciplines everyone he loves as a son or a daughter. And he says, it goes on to say in Hebrews 12, you can read it for yourself. What father doesn't discipline their son? And at the time, it's unpleasant, right? Nobody likes to get disciplined, right? But it says in Hebrews 12, at the end, it yields a fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. So sometimes God will say no as a discipline. You remember the story, and we don't have time to go into all this because I know we've got communion. So I'm just going to sum it up for us. In Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 to 12, Moses, God said, here's what I want you to do, Moses. I want you to give a picture of my people of all time. They were set free, you remember, from slavery, the bondage of slavery, remember, in Egypt, and they were out in the desert, right? And they were so thirsty, and God wanted to provide for them. He said, okay, this is what I want you to do, Mo. Probably didn't call him Mo, but I do. He says, Moses, I want you to do this. I want you to go, and I want you just to speak to the rock. Do you remember that story? I want you to speak to the rock, and then out of that rock is going to flow streams of living water, and I'm going to provide for all the people. And it was a picture. He wanted to give a picture for the New Testament. We know who's the rock? Jesus, right? And out of him flows what? Streams of living water. He's our provision, right? Does that make sense? It was a picture for the future, for all of his people, all of God's people. In a dry and thirsty land, he wants to be that provision for folks, right? Well, Moses was ticked off at people, and we can do that sometimes. And he came out, instead of doing what God said, he's like, you bunch of rebels! Uh-oh, he's already in trouble. He's like, must we, give you rock from... First he said we. It wasn't we. Moses didn't have anything to do with it. This was God's plan. You bunch of rebels, must we give you rock? And I think he struck the rock, if I remember correctly. He beat the rock, right? Listen, and then God still provided for them. But he said, Moses, you totally misrepresented me to my people, to all my people. And he said, you know what? Part of that discipline is you can't now go into the promised land. And it was actually Joshua who led him into the promised land. Now, did God still love Moses? You know, I think he was called a friend of God, wasn't he? He was still very close. But this was a part of the discipline. Because he totally misrepresented God. Yes, I see. Thank you, Nate. We'll bring you the mic. Try the other one. Just click it again and see if it works out.
Hello?
All right.
Well, one of the things that, if you read the Old Testament, the Israelites weren't really the most patient people. Well, usually they'd drive him mad most of the time, which, yep, was understandable, but it's just that it still shouldn't be used as an excuse to, abuse
right,
God's control and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're angry. I mean, the Bible does say, be angry, but sin not. And
absolutely,
God does say, revenge is in my hands.
Yes, absolutely. So he took it into his own hands, and so God disciplined him. And I'm sure he asked many times, Lord, please, I'm leading them out to the promised land.
But unfortunately, it's part of God's discipline. But God still loved him. And God, if he loves you, he's going to discipline you sometimes. And that's okay. He loves you. In fact, I'd be worried if he never disciplined you. If he gets to the point and lets you do whatever he wants. Do you know, if you've ever been around a kid who's let do whatever they want? Let me tell you, that's exact. They are a brat. They are a spoiled little brat. And sometimes we can be that way too. So sometimes God's disciplining us. Sometimes God is humbling us. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? Paul, it said, prayed multiple times. You remember that story? He had, it says, a thorn in his side. It even says like a messenger for Satan. And they think it was his eyes, bad vision or something like that. He prayed three times. And we're talking about a guy who raised people from the dead and healed people. And, you know, and yet he prayed three times. And God said to him, you know what? Paul, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. I'm doing this to keep, I think even Paul says in that chat, I'm doing it to keep you humble. Mm-hmm. Right? I want you to understand that this power is from me. Listen, I'm not answering your prayer, but I want you to know you can rely on me. And your strength and your power will come from me even in your weakness. And in your weakness, you're going to rely on me more. So sometimes God doesn't answer those prayers. Sometimes it humbles us. And sometimes because of that, we have to cry out to him more. But his strength will be made perfect in weakness. And he will provide for you. He loves you. Listen, always take, when you look at any situation you're going, I want you to picture this as the backdrop. Okay? Any situation you're going through, just picture the backdrop on the cross. He sent his one and only son to bleed and die for you, to take all your sins, past, present, and future. He gave his only son for you. Remember that through any situation. So maybe he's disciplining us. Maybe he's humbling us. Sometimes God will say, no, just like he did to Paul. And I think he loved Paul. I think he loved Moses. Sometimes God has a higher purpose for us. We just don't like to hear no. I don't like to hear no as an adult. What do you mean, no? Customer service. So I'd like to send that. What do you mean? Why don't you tell me what you... What was it, Amazon? Oh, I better not get in trouble. Anyway, you know, we were talking to somebody and my wife and I were like, hey, how about you stop telling me what you can't do for us and tell what you can do for us? But sometimes God has a higher purpose for us. Listen, do you remember the story of Lazarus, right? Lazarus's no? Okay. Lazarus, well, I don't know if it was Lazarus's no, maybe his sister's no, but I'm sure Lazarus was praying too. They asked Jesus. They said, please come. Lazarus is dying. The guy you love. You know us. You love us. Come, he's dying right now. And you know what Jesus did? He said no. And he waited. In fact, he waited till after he died. Now, actually, they were so mad. One of the sisters refused to go see him. And one of them went to him and she was in tears. She said, why didn't you come? If you would have been here, you would have lived. Do you remember that story?
Saying it is
well, that's how I see it.
Yeah, I see it more of a crying way.
Okay, well, you might see it more of a crying way. Okay, maybe she was saying, oh, if you would have been here, he would have lived. But I see it more as like, you could have come, you didn't. I could be wrong. That you're right, that is an interpretation. Doesn't say that she was angry, but anyway. So, but here's the deal. If Jesus would have come, they've already seen him heal people. They already knew he could do that. That's why they called him. But see, if he would have went right then, and if they got, then they wouldn't have come to know Jesus in a bigger, in a higher, in a greater way. And now you know the story. He raised him from the dead. Do you remember that? After 3 days, they had to take the grave clothes off him. Remember that story? So sometimes God is a... And then because of that, many people came to know Jesus. Because they initially said no. So sometimes there's a higher purpose for it. Or in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, there's a story. Jesus went over. He was ministering in the Jewish areas. He was telling people about himself, right? And he went over to this area called the Gadarenes, which was a Gentile pagan area. And there was a demon-possessed guy. Do you remember that? Oh, man, this guy was, he lived in the tombs. He was all goth. He was, like, possessed by all these demons. He was cutting himself. That's what demons do. They get you alone. He was all alone. It said that he was abnormally strong. The townspeople would try to chain him up, shut him up. Remember that story? He break the chains. And it says when Jesus actually set him free, there was a legion of demons in him, and how many we don't really even know, but there was multiple demonic spirits in that man, and he tormenting him for, and Jesus set him free. Wonderful story, right? Now, if you remember the story, when the demons cast out the demons, they said, "Jesus, can we go into the pigs?" You know. And Jesus said yes to their request. And then the townspeople, who were making lots of money off these pagan pigs, right? All these pigs, what happened was when the demons went in them, they ran off a cliff and died. So the townspeople came and they saw this guy right in his normal mind, right? Freed from this demon. You'd think they would be all happy for him. They were more concerned with their prophets than they were this person. And they told Jesus, instead of like, "Wow, this is amazing. What a miracle. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Tell me about this God." Instead, what happened was they said, "Get out. Leave this area." You know what Jesus told them? He said, "Yes, I'll do that." Now, as he was leaving, the demon-possessed guy that was no longer, was freed and saved. Do you know what? The one person who wanted Jesus there said, "Will you take me with you? I want to come with you." And you know what Jesus said to him? No. Now, let me tell you, let me just be honest. I don't know how you would have felt. I would have felt angry. I would have felt hurt. Everybody else doesn't want you here. And you said yes to every, even demons, even to these mean people. I want to be with you, and you're telling me no. You know what else I'd be thinking? I'm not good enough. See, he knows. He really knows. See, he knows that these other guys are good enough, but I'm not good enough to even walk with them. But that wasn't the case at all. What Jesus said is no. And then he said, "I want you to go back to that pagan area, to that town. I want you to tell them all what I have done for you." Now, later on in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus came back to that same pagan area that totally kicked him out, right? That ran him out of town. And that one guy's witness, obviously he went back town. It says, if you read in Matthew chapter 15, 30 and 31, when he went back to that Decapolis area, he said this time a great crowd met him. And they fell at his feet. And they were praising God, and miracles were being done. And it was an amazing thing simply because this one man had gone back and shared what Jesus had done. So sometimes those no's have a higher purpose. We have to trust God in it. Does that make sense? You can trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. When God says no, it might not be his timing. Do you remember in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, there was a beautiful woman there by the name of Hannah, and she was barren, praying for years for a son, and she didn't, because there was a time, finally she just, every year they would go make sacrifices, and every year she would feel terrible, and finally the priest saw her 1 year out praying by the temple, just crying, sobbing. He actually was sobbing so much he thought he was drunk. She's like, "Quit drinking, quit getting drunk." She's like, "I'm not drunk, I'm praying for a son." And God answered, and the prophet Samuel was born for such a time as this. Sometimes it's a timing thing with the Lord. So you have to trust him that he knows best. And Samuel was born at the perfect time in history for him to be a prophet amongst his people. And then sometimes, and we don't like this part, it's just not God's will. lot of times we think we have it all figured out. Do you know what I mean? Listen, God, I know what's best here. I know what's best for this family. I know what's best financially. I know what's best. I know what's best. I know what's best. No, you don't. Listen, you can ask him, but you have to trust him in the end. Listen, Jesus got no's. Jesus prayed. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? He fell on his knees and it says he prayed 3 times. Lord, if this cup could be taken from me, take it. And his answer was no. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Does that make sense? So these are some reasons why we might hear no's from God. The Bible says we can have confidence in prayer. This is from 1 John 5:14 to 15. This is the confidence we have approaching God. That if we ask anything, what? According to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have it, what we ask of him. Now listen, there are some folks that, oh, I know God, I'm claiming I get a new Mercedes convertible. It's his will. Do you really think that would be God's will for you to get a Mercedes convertible, Pastor? Do you know what I'm saying? Would that, maybe that would cause people to stumble. So sometimes we just have to, if it's his will, okay? So pray confidently, but whatever, but nevertheless, your will be done. Speeding up. Thanks. All right, you hit the light just for a second. Goes on to say in verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Listen, in James chapter 5:16, confess your sins to each other. And that word sins, it just means, it could mean faults, it could mean offenses. Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other. Listen, folks, confess them to one another. Pray for one another. Confess your faults. You don't have to be the perfect Christian. You're not. No one is. That's a false goal. You put that fakeness up there. Everything's not all right always in your marriage. Everything's not always all right in our marriage. Sometimes things are not all right in our finances. Sometimes things are not all right with our kids. I can confess that to you. But then I want to find a way, biblical way to handle it. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. Listen, it says to confess. And Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever confesses his sins will prosper. But he who covers his sins, thank you. He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. I want mercy from the Lord. Don't let that pride shut you up. Whenever there's been confessing of sins, there's been revival. People's hearts have been revived. This is, if you look at the revivals through histories, people start, when there's real revival going on in a heart, in a church, in a life, in a community, in a town, in a country, people will just start confessing their sins. They're like, I don't even care. I just want Jesus. Even back all the way into the book of the Bible in Acts, chapter 19, 18 to 20, in Ephesus, when God was working in people's hearts, they were getting saved. It says, many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who have been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars, so the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. Man, that confession is cleansing. Now listen, there's a proper way to do it, okay? There's a proper way to do it. First off, you should never manipulate anybody. Who can I use an example that wouldn't be some? Okay. Rebecca. Okay, Rebecca. I just see, sister, I see that you're struggling with something. Is it lustful thoughts?
Now.
Okay. Did you see what I'm saying? You're putting, don't ever manipulate or whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? You don't need to tell everything to everybody. How do I even say this? Let's just say, associate pastor, I'll just say, and a person on the worship team, girl on the worship team, and so this pastor, okay, we're to confess our sins to one another. So he went to this, they were both married, and so I hate to even tell you these, but this is, I want you to understand, and well, I just want to confess, I've been having just lustful dreams about you for the last 2 months. I just want to confess that. I want to ask your forgiveness. I'm having these continuing lustful thoughts for you. And I'm so embarrassed. I'm just having all these lustful. Well, that's putting stuff. Oh, really? And of course, can you guess what happened? Of course, in the next few months, they had. Don't, my goodness, you don't need to say those things. You can confess those things to the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? You can get a girlfriend or a guy, a girl, you know what I'm saying. You can go to a pastor or something. You don't need to go into the gory details and cause somebody to stumble. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a way to do things, okay, it's to be wise and to be mature, all right? Okay, and then it goes on to say, and it says to confess it too. Listen, if you start I've been so bitter. Will you please help me? I've been so angry. That's cleansing. That confession of sin, that's going to heal you. It will. Let it go. It goes on to say that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And I like the King James, the way it puts it better. And I'm going to give you a bouquet of sweet peas, if you could hit the lights for a second. Okay, a bouquet of sweet peas to help you remember when it comes to prayer. Okay, God wants us to pray because there is tons of power in prayer. Okay, I want you to pray passionately. Pray passionately. The Bible says in the King James, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I like how the King James puts it, fervent prayer, because sometimes we just become spiritually dead. You know what I'm saying? Lord, I guess I just pray for their salvation. Lord, bless them. I could really care less. Lord, will you please make sure what you're praying is really from your heart, not just blah, blah, blah words. Do you know what I'm saying? Check your heart. Lord, please. Help these people who just got baptized. Protect them. Strengthen them, Lord. You know the enemy's stealing these. Lord, help those people who are hurting right now. In Jesus' name, help them. Build them up. Help me to help them, Lord. Whatever it is. So pray passionately. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And that righteous person is Christ's righteousness. I want you to pray perseveringly. Listen, Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Pray perseveringly at all times in the Spirit, God says. I want you to pray purposefully. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. And I want you to ask them, ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, give thanks for them, but pray purposefully in your prayers. That verse is still, yes, that's in the NIV. It might just be worded slightly differently, but yes. Mm-hmm. Pray positionally. Now, I want to be careful when I say this. In Luke chapter 18, 9 to 14, when I say positionally, I'm not talking about, we already talked about this a couple weeks ago, if you're on your face, on your knees, when you're standing, sitting. When I say positionally, I mean pray with a humble heart. And you remember this story, two men went to go pray before God. One was a Pharisee, like a priest or pastor. He went, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Like I'm not like these sinners here, Lord. That I'm your kid. And he just went on and whatever he said. And then here, there was another man who was just, he was a tax collector. He just said, Lord, he couldn't even look up to heaven. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm just a sinner before you, but I love you. And he said, Jesus said, you won't, that guy, the humble guy, is who went home right before God. So be humble. Pray positionally with humility. Don't be demanding. God, I command as a child of the king, you do this for me. And you don't demand anything of God. You humbly ask. And then you pray persistently. In the story of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus said, I want to tell you a story, and I won't go through the whole thing. But in verse 1, it says how you should always pray and never give up. That tells me to pray persistently. This is a little story that I'd like. I use once in a while. But Sir George Adam Smith was a Scottish preacher, and he was a scholar. And he tells a story of how he and his expert guide were climbing the Weisshorn in the Swiss Alps. It was stormy, and they were making their climb on the sheltered side of the peak. When they reached the summit, they were filled with exhilaration. And Sir George forgot about the fierce winds, and he leapt up. He was so excited, and he was nearly blown over the edge to the glacier below. And the guy grabbed hold of him and exclaimed loudly, "On your knees, sir! You're only safe here on your knees." Christian, you're only safe here on your knees. Pray in the Spirit in all occasions for all the saints. Goes on to say these last verses. Thanks. 17, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced his crop. He's like saying, here's this prophet who called fire down from heaven, right? He's just like us. He prayed, God answered. He can do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask for or imagine. Listen, he's a man just like us. He prayed. He's saying, you can do the same thing. Listen, God will give you incredible power. There's incredible power in prayer. We just need to give it over to him and trust him. And he's a guy just like us. You know, he defeated 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah, right? All before all Israel. But then one woman started going after him, Jezebel, and he wanted to die. Lord, I just want to die. I'm your only prophet left. And if I leave, you'll be a non-profit organization. And he's like, I've got prophets you don't even know about. You know, but we can all get depressed, right? So here's this great man of God, and he gets depressed sometimes. He wanted to die. Remember that story? 1 Kings chapter 18. Anyway, so pray. And in verse 19 and 20, these last verses says, my brothers, and it will be sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from their error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. Listen, if you see folks wandering from the truth, it's not Pastor Gary's job. It's not Pastor Darren's job only. It's all of our jobs. If you're a born-again Christian, bring them back. Pray for them. Call them. Ask them. Help them. Send out a lifeline. Do you know something? There are some people that wouldn't listen to me or Gary, but they'll listen to you. Maybe it's how you talk. Maybe it's because you've been the relationship you have. Whatever it is. You can maybe meet them in a way that we couldn't. The Bible says this in Daniel chapter 11:33. And the wise among the people shall make many understanding, bringing them back. Though for some days they shall stumble by the sword and the flame, by captivity and plunder. Listen, sometimes you're going to even make mistakes trying to bring people back that you see wandering away. But do it anyway. Because the Bible says in Daniel chapter 12 verse 3, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky. And listen to this, guys. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Listen, bring them back to the Lord. You see him wandering. God is giving you a charge. Please. That's why he has us in a body. So you'll notice. Bring them back. Call them out. Where are they? Why aren't they sitting here today? Not in a legalistic way, mind you, right? I notice you weren't there on Sunday. Well, I notice you're not there a lot of Sundays. Why is that?
Well, you know, work. Well, could you maybe try to get those days switched? Because I really think you need that encouragement in the Lord. Listen, I could say that all day long. But Nick, maybe if you said it to him, something would change. Maybe if Josh and Nick said it and Hope said it, they'd listen. Bring them back. Capiche? All right, Gary, can you, I guess, someone want to hand out the elements. Okay, Gary, you want to come up? Thank you, brother. So you're coming up as quickly as it began. The 50 cal of the New Testament is finished. Gary, all you.
Luke 22. Okay, Luke 22. It's a passage that we all know, and that, but I want to take a look at it today in light of a little later on in the same chapter. We're going to begin with verse 14, Luke 22, 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which was poured out for you. Move down to verse 39. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, Pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. It's interesting, when it talks about sweating like blood, there's actually, and I got to look it up because I won't remember it otherwise, it's called hematidrosis, right? Which under extreme emotional or physical stress, and that evidently the capillaries near the sweat glands can actually rupture, and the sweat is mixed with blood. Now, what occurs to me, right? We know Jesus went right, and it was not my will, but thy will be done, right? And that meant a terrible, horrific death for Jesus. It meant that he needed to take the cup of wrath of God for all of us, right? But it also meant that the Lord's will was that he would have a relationship with us. Now I think about it, right? The first drops of the first blood, right? It wasn't at the hand of a Roman soldier, right? It wasn't at the hand of a religious person, right? The first drop of blood was Jesus stressed out over you and I. Right? He said to take communion, do this in remembrance of him. Right? So, okay. We remember the sacrifice that he made. Right? But the passage from Psalms that we opened with this morning, he talked about the righteousness that he's purchased for us. Now, when I look at Scripture, a lot of times I like to ask, okay, well, how does this affect my life? I like intellectual knowledge. That's cool. But let's face it, if it doesn't affect my life, does it have any value? So my question to you this morning, and I think I would ask that this would be your prayer in the time when you contemplate before taking the bread and the cup. Lord, am I honoring the life that you purchased for me? Right? John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that they might have life to the full. Right? Am I living life to the full? That doesn't mean the new Mercedes that Pastor Darren just talked about. Right? Am I living sacrificially? Am I living for the Lord? Am I bringing the brother back that may need some encouragement? Am I helping the one who's fallen and needs a hand up? You know, is my life honoring the sacrifice that the Lord made? And that this morning, the youth are passing out the elements for us. And that's good. Right? It's a reminder that you don't need to be of a certain age to honor the Lord with your life. Right? You can be very young or you can be getting old like me. You can be any age and serve the Lord. So yeah, pass out the elements, and then spend some time in prayer asking the Lord what he would do with your life in remembrance of him. Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord. There's no way that we could have purchased it for ourselves. It's your gift to us. Father, help us be thankful in the way we live, Lord, in the way we worship you in times of prayer, in times of service, Lord, in times of study. Help us to worship you moment by moment in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that you created us to have a relationship with you. It's so amazing, Father. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, our blessed Savior. Amen.
You guys, we hope you have a great week in Jesus' name. And please, there are Experiencing God workbooks right up here. Please see Pastor Gary or myself, and we'll give you one. And we want you to take the course. Don't forget to grab some bread as well. We love you guys.